This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
And welcome to this Saturday, the 15th of August edition of Roots and Shoots, where I'm joined. We're matching. We're both wearing neutrals today. We look like we belong in a home decor magazine, don't we? We're a bit bland.
Yeah. If only we were had the posh accent to go with it. Actually, I've got... Oh, no, it's all come off.
We look like we could use a Flicarti rug and a nice beige sofa.
Yeah, I think so. And some suede shoes.
Oh, yeah, she's got lovely...
Oh, you've got suede shoes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, wearing brown suede shoes. Hey, you've got things to talk about, the extinction rate in this country.
Yeah, so BBC last week... Rather.
Before you do that, can I just tell people to call now, 1300 222 1025, if you would like to speak to Sabrina Hahn in the flesh, in the person, and I can assure you that she's dressed well for you today. It's not always the case.
No. Usually it's tracky dacks, and when it's 4 degrees outside, I come in my Ugg boots as well. But I do take them off before I enter the studio.
She just does.
To add a little bit of decorum
when
I enter the room.
I shouldn't sledge you like that, should
no,
I?
No, it's not sledging. It's actually factual.
Okay.
one doesn't sledge when one is participating in the truth.
Telling the truth. 1300 222 1025. Call Sabrina now, and then you can get back to the biodiversity of
this
brilliant state of ours and what's going on with it.
Yeah, with it. So BBC News last week wrote a piece on the extinction rates around the world, not just here. And Australia is the extinction hotspot and leads the world in extinction rate. And guess which state gets the golden gong?
I don't want to know. I think it's us.
Western Australia.
Oh, this is nothing to be proud of.
No. So the critically endangered ones were bushtail possum, the numbats, Carnaby's cockatoo, the Gilbert's potoroo, and, of course, our sea lions. So 80% of fauna found in Australia is not found anywhere else in the world.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Anywhere else
Gondwana
in
land.
The world. So, of course, the extinctions are caused by many. It's a multifaceted thing. It's not an easy solution. So we've got development, we've got farming, we've got mining, we've got feral animals, and we've got climate change. So, you know, the black summer, that was 2019-2020, they estimate 3 billion animals died in that heat wave that whipped across.
Wow.
What? 3 billion. Thousands of fruit bats died. They just literally dropped out of the trees from heat exhaustion, dead. And now, of course, we've got bird flu. So
there was some good news.
There was some good news.
A little bit of good news.
I'm going to give you the good news. So scientists agree that this is the sixth mass extinction on the planet. And unfortunately, Western Australia has the worst record of conserving species that are critically endangered and under threat. So basically what's happened for the past 30 years, the government all the governments over the last 30 years have failed to protect the environment and conservation. So what the scientists are saying is we need urgent action and political courage to actually put through environmental protection laws. Now, some of the good stories are that the critically endangered numbat, they have now been breeding them in isolated areas and are releasing them in areas where they control the feral animals, because feral animals are a massive, massive, massive problem. So we know that we can now hopefully breed animals that are on the edge of extinction, but we need the habitat to be able to put them back in, because what's happening is we're getting these isolated little pockets of forest or environment that suits those species, but they're all fragmented. There's no corridors. There's no connection.
Right.
And they cited the Carnabes cockatoo, which is one of the ones that are incredibly on the extinction list, and saying that, you know, the only place where you would allow mining in an area where there are minimum two critically endangered species, it only seems to occur here in Western Australia. So we need political will, but what we do have is we have a growing movement, and particularly with young people, who now see the environment as being a very, very, very important part of culture.
Mm.
And worth fighting for and worth saving, and that we need for generations to come, not just peacemake, we'll do a little bit here and a little bit there. So basically, in order to protect these critically endangered animals, flora and fauna, we need national parks, we need areas, we need no-go zones, not for humans, but no go for burning and mining and clearing and housing.
Corridors.
We need these corridors to link up. So get on board, people.
Get on board
that train, I say.
And your corridors for Carnabes can be part of that, can't it? Like, that's exactly what you're talking
Absolutely.
About. That sort of an initiative, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
So which has no government funding whatsoever. That was done by the power of people in a very generous organisation from overseas, and we're getting on with it. It's going gangbusters.
Proud of you, girlfriendo. Ali in Parkerville has sent through a photograph of what looks like some fossilised earwax. Doesn't it?
That kind of makes me gag.
Now that I mention it, sorry. She says, hi, Sabrina, I'm growing a rare gold-making gum nut tree? We found these gum nuts with these metallic gold flecks in
them. Yeah.
Should we quit our jobs and open a gold tree mining lease? I think that's come out of someone's ears.
It's not an earwax. Can't do it.
Or it's a dilated pour of wina.
Now, what this is interesting, this is very interesting, because, Ali, this is the sap that comes out of various gum trees, and it's like a hard resin. And I would say that whoever's had a go at chewing the nuts has also chewed the tree somewhere near where the nuts were, and the droplets of the resin have fallen on the nuts. And they're encrusted in the actual nut itself. And it looks, it does look very much like grommets that you'd stick in someone's ear.
Yeah.
They
look
beautiful.
Like earbuds from the Iron Age. When you used to have your Iron Age podcasts about how to make fire.
Yeah, and the bog witches would have been cooking them up.
Oh, we were
up.
There. In fact, that's what they are.
Bog witch earplugs.
Travelled back in time, left some earbuds, they've fossilised, and now Ali in Parkerville has found them, and she's going to grow an earbud tree.
They're worth keeping, not to stick in your ears, but, you know, I'd make a little neck. I reckon you know what, Amber.
Tell me.
Speaking of amber in things, you could crush those down and make some sort of potion. Ali, I don't know if Ali is a bog witch or not, but, you know, Ali, I'd be keeping those for some prize little potions.
Do you remember the idea of love potion? What a bloody tragedy.
Well,
make people fall in love with you.
No, I know, but it's better than being shot with an arrow.
This is true. Billy's in love with us, aren't you, Billy?
I definitely, my lovely girls.
Oh, we love you too, Billy.
Thank you. Hugs from afar in the country.
Thank you, Billy.
I'd just like to find out, my first question is, how was Taylor Swift's wedding? I hear you got an invitation.
Well, you know, sadly I had to turn it down because I had a 70th on, and that's more important. You know, if you're going to reach the age of 70, you need to start celebrating, I reckon. Happy birthday, Heather and Greg.
Billy, what's your question for Sab this morning?
My beautiful old almond trees in my backyard,
mm-hmm.
just regrowing and getting new growth, but they came on into full bloom and flower at the moment. They're so spectacular, but I'm just wondering, is that an early seasonal sign?
No, Billy. Almonds usually start flowering right when the winds are really strong and you get heavy rain and it blows all the blossom off. So they're pretty bang on time at the moment. But lots of other stuff in that family, like peaches and nectarines, are all flowering way too early. But almonds are usually the earliest to flower, so end of August, September.
Oh, fantastic, because yep. I've laid my loincloth out and I'm getting excited.
Oh, Billy. Thanks for calling in. 1300 222 1025 is the number you can call. Sabrina, are there any flowering natives that can be espaliered, says Angela?
Yeah. Speaking of which, I've seen a lot of Australian natives that have been bonsaied, let alone espaliered.
Really?
Oh, leaping lizards, yes. So if you want to espalier anything, I would go for the shrub melaleucas. You could certainly do the rice and the carpus, the WA wedding bush. That'd be a cracker. I don't think it's been played around with much, so I'd have a play. But certainly the melaleucas would look spectacular.
Okay, there you go. We have a beautiful photograph here. The message from Ian from Mayland says, "G'day, Sab and Amber. I've prepared some plants for the plant swap at City Farm and I want to check that I'm not spreading a potential weed. It is so easy to propagate, which makes me concerned." Velthymia.
Bracteata.
Is its botanical name. Yep. Photo of the flower is attached. So Ian is wondering if this is a weed.
No, Velthymia is a true nana plant and you cannot get it in any nurseries here. You have to buy it online. So I tell you what, Ian from Maylands, you bring that Velthymia along and if anyone's got any questions about it, send them to me because I've got them in my garden and I love them. Not only do I love them, but the honey eaters, they must be so full of nectar. You see them turning themselves upside down.
How do you describe that kind of flower? Does it have a name?
It's a Velthymia. Ah, it's...
the form of it.
It's very typical of bulbs. It's like a spike flower with many, many flowerets.
Is it like a red hot poker flower?
Yeah, a bit.
1300 222 1025. I reckon everyone might be out in the garden doing their actual gardening because it's a lovely day today. Excuse me. The Carnaby's black cockatoo is mentioned a lot. Why is the Bowden's not mentioned? They are more endangered.
Okay, so the Carnaby's are there's the Carnaby's cockatoo and the Bowden's. Now they are very similar. It's very difficult to tell the difference between the two unless you get a close-up shot. The Bowden's are more critically endangered than the Carnaby's, but people haven't heard of the Bowden's, but they're still part of the same stream of cockatoo, if you will. And the Bowden's have a much smaller range. So when we talk about the Carnaby's cockatoo, I'd have time
sorry,
to get
just,
up.
I've just got a phone call from the son.
No, no, take that. I'll carry on. It's the Prime Minister. So Bowden's are critically, critically endangered and they hang out. They'll hang out with the Carnaby's, so you usually see the two of them together.
Okay. Can I strike a cutting from a mulberry plant, please? Yep. How and when, says Sandy in Karratha.
Okay, Sandy, so you're in Karratha, so your mulberry probably isn't bare. But, yes, you can. You need to take one that's about 35, 40 centimetres long. You need at least 2 to 3 nodes under the soil. I don't know which mulberry you've got. Everything else but the English black are very easy to propagate. The English black you have to propagate. You have to put in the soil at an angle. But I would be taking those cuttings right now. Get yourself some hormone gel. Well, not for you. This is for the plant. Your hormones, if you're taking any, won't be of any use whatsoever.
Just dribbled.
I don't know.
You made me dribble. Caught me by surprise.
Sorry.
Okay. Were you done with that one?
Yeah.
All right. I planted a native verge at the beginning of winter and one of the plants is starting to get a leaf curl, still have new growth. What are the best solutions to cure this?
Leap and lizards. So the picture I am looking at, the leaves are all curled inwards. They're all dry. They're frizzled. They're munted. They have.
We haven't had a munting in weeks.
How long is it since we've had a munting? I reckon, in terms of rating a munting, this would be, I reckon this would be about an 8
out of 10.
8 out of 10 munting with this one. So there's a couple of things going on here. You have a leaf miner that is just eating all the chlorophyll and sucking the bejesus out of that plant. I would spray it with a pest oil because if you don't, you're going to lose the plant. The upper growth isn't too bad, but all the lower growth. So I would clear the area of mulch around it because the little critters are probably right down in the soil as well. So use an oil-based spray on it. It's going to be lovely weather. You can do it today.
Very nice. Jenny is in Hammy Hill. Hi, Jenny. What's your question for Sab?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I've just recently moved an avocado, it's about 2 metres tall, from the ground to a pot.
Yeah.
And it's sort of gone all like brown and crispy, and I'm just wondering if it's just like the shock of being moved and if there's anything I can do to.
Okay, so yep, so it'll be transplant shock, also cold weather. But it should recover, Jenny. It should be okay. So. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Just do not overwater it in this cold weather, and give it a little bit of loving with some kelp and a little bit of fish.
Okay, great. So it doesn't need any like mulch or compost or anything like that.
Did you put it in with potting mix?
Or just dug it out and tried to get lots of the soil around the roots and straight into the pot.
Okay. So it's not in potting mix or good stuff. It's just the soil that you – okay.
Yeah, well, we did improve that soil originally.
Okay.
The
problem is soil isn't as free draining as potting mix and you won't get as much root development. So my advice is to get really good quality potting mix and add a little bit of compost and a little bit of manure to it.
Okay, and so just sort of dig out the soil that's there. And
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank
good
you.
Luck okay. With that, Jenny. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny.
Christine is in Busselton. Hi, Christine. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, hi. I've got avocado trees and just two that have never really given me fruit. But I'm just wondering at this time of year, what do I do anything to help them?
Yeah, well, they're going to.
Happen?
Yeah, they're you want them to grow. Okay, so now that the weather's warming up, most of the avocados will start doing a little bit of a spring flush. So you can certainly get some compost and manure 50-50 mix around the base of the avocado tree. You can also give them some trace elements and some seaweed and fish solution, which will be great.
Okay, because they've got little buds on them.
Yeah.
Little buds and they're think, oh, something might happen.
Yeah. So don't overdo the fertiliser though because those little buds will all drop off.
About.
Yeah, so go the liquids.
Okay, so 50-50 compost and.
And manure. I'd use cow or sheep,
I've got sheep, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Christine.
1300 221 0025 is the number you need to speak to this lady. Someone sent Asha a message that they found a photo of one of their nipple cherry tomatoes. Is that a thing? But they are nippular, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Actually, a lot of tomatoes have those little nipples at the bottom.
Okay.
It's you know.
It's perky.
It's perky. It's cold too.
And it's reflected that the tomato is feeling the cold. Now, We're waiting for someone to come on hold. Who have we got?
I'll just answer this quickly because everyone's doing this now. They're buying all the Geraldton waxes because they're exquisitely bloody beautiful. So Nathan, who lives in White Gum Valley, he's as tall and woody. You got to hammer that baby. With Geraldton waxes, you need to remember that you have to prune them by two-thirds when they finish flowering every single year.
Right, because otherwise they're just leggy.
Leggy, they go all leggy. No nipples, just legginess.
Sorry. It's not my fault. Can someone write to my boss and say, it was her, it wasn't here. Nikki in Busselton says, can I grow Emerymophila pink passion from cuttings? A friend has two awesome mature bushes and I have her permission to take my secateurs on our next cavoodle play date. I'm hoping the blue wrens will approve. Can she do that, the Emerymophila?
I have to say that Emerymophila, I presume it's pink panther. It's very tricky to grow from a cutting, but certainly give it a crack. So you need the new growth, so you won't need a chainsaw, a little pair of secateurs or even scissors.
Okay.
Will be fine and dandy.
Yes.
I'd take a few cuttings because they seem to be quite difficult to strike from a cutting.
There we go. Meg is in Netherlands. Hi, Meg. What would you like to ask Sabrina?
Oh, wow. That was really quick.
We don't muck around here, Meg. I tell you what, we work.
I mean, we do muck around. We don't. I can lie around you. Sorry, Meg. I'll stop talking.
I wanted to double check about the plant swap thing.
Yes.
Where it is and where it is.
Yep.
And also, I've got some salt bush that is getting quite tall. Am I able to cut cuttings and bring them along?
You most definitely can. You'll have to take the cuttings on the morning of, Meg.
Yeah.
And stick them in a little thing of water to bring them to us. And, yes, of course you can. And
good.
Everyone loves saltbush and it's beautiful on your lamb, I have to say. So the plant swap is... it's on the 29th of August, so not this Saturday, probably in a few. I don't even know what the date today is.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
not
next weekend, the weekend after.
Yeah, not next weekend, the weekend after. So it's on Saturday and it's at City Farm and it goes from 9.
Well, you can start dropping your plants from 8 a.m. at the barn.
Mm.
All plant and seedling varieties are accepted as long as they're in good condition and healthy. They need to be in certified potting mix. Very important. So come along to that.
So that's it's City Farm,
which is just around the corner from here. And you're going to Google that, or it's
I'm not googly smart.
Okay,
one City Farm place.
Yeah,
East Perth.
In East Perth. So not next Saturday, the one after. And Christine Layton's going to be hosting that show. It was such a beautiful event last year. I'm a little bit sad that I'm not here for that, but I'm going to be seeing my daughter in England. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yes.
I would love to go back home.
Oh, yes.
Enjoy it very much. What part of England?
She's in London. She's working in London.
The busy part.
The busy part. Meg, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Meg.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-300-221-025 is the number. My acacia fimbriata dwarf is amazingly 20 years old. It's bounced back a few times from heavy pruning. It now appears to be under attack. Should we be worried about the rest of the native garden, says Brenda?
It's got frass.
Frass.
In it. It's got frass. It's got borer, which is very common in old wattles. Don't think you need to be worried about the rest of the garden, but unfortunately I'm suggesting that you take that out and buy yourself another fimbriata. 20 years is pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm.
Excellent. Here we go, citrus nipple. If it was the Victorian era, the tangelos in my local shop would be covered under a sheet. That's very funny. Morning, ladies. Please spell out the name of previously mentioned nana plant, sounding like
Velthemia, V-E-L-T-H-E-I-M-E-A. Velthemia or IA. It's either IA or EA at the end.
Velthemia, okay.
It'd be IA. Yep. Velthemia.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this. Here we go now.
What have we got?
How come it's not? We've only been on air for 5 minutes.
I know. It goes fast, doesn't it?
How come it's 9:30 already?
When you're not mucking around.
I feel like I've barely walked in the door.
You've taken your cardigan off. We're trying to be nicely dressed because
you wanted
for the social
photo.
Media cameras.
Oh, here, I'll put it back on. I had a little hot flush.
Well, you don't have to.
Hot flush is gone now. I'm going to put it back on.
There you go. I've just sent my son a text message of us with our headphones on. Just going, what were we doing? You don't bother to know what your mother does for a job, do you? Anyway,
my kids ring me, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
What's your song pick, my darling?
Oh, well, a little bit of DMAs. I really like DMAs. They're one of my favourite little bands. And this one's called Heaton Park.
Well,
Heaton.
Nice.
Heaton Park.
Every suburb,
every street,
everywhere, every conversation, every story, everything Perth.
Everything Perth. 102.5 ABC Perth. You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
You've been in quite a state while the song was on. Because you just Asher, I hope it's okay. One of Asher's three dogs got its head stuck in the toddler toilet seat insert. And there's a photograph of it with the toddler toilet seat insert.
And also, he'd gone out the back. She couldn't find him, so he's gone out the back. Very quiet.
With the toilet seat
of shame. With the toilet seat of shame. And you can see he looks so embarrassed.
Oh, Emma.
It's the funniest thing.
Emma in Ashfield, hello.
Oh, hello, Emma.
What's going on with you?
I don't know if you saw the picture of my lovely flooded gum.
Yes.
In the front yard.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how I can keep the tree and also protect my house. If there's anything. It's so big.
It's enormous, isn't it?
And it's quite close to the building.
Yeah. It seems it appears to have given a slight rise to your driveway as well.
Yes.
Wow.
Do you know what, Emma? There is there's an arboreal company that specialise. They have cameras that go down in the soil and trace roots where the roots grow. Now, you can actually sever roots off from large trees. And so the river gum does have an enormous root system. I think you're going to have to employ an arborist to check the integrity of where you can cut the roots, because that is an enormous tree and it's really close to your house.
Yes.
If you stay online and we hand you back to Asher, I will give you the name of the company, and this is what they do. They look at the integrity of trees, but they can actually look at the root system and see what's happening in the root system.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Popping you back on hold for Asher. Betty is in Albany. Hi, Betty.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Betty.
Now, I have a desert rose, which I've grown in a pot.
Yep.
Started it out when the warm weather's grown beautifully.
Yep.
For the winter, I've bought it inside next to a window, a sunny side.
Yeah.
It has grown beautifully and it's had loads of flowers on it. Now, the flowers are dropping off.
Yep.
Just let it go with the flowers, drop it off, or should I cut that off, the top?
No. Just let it go. Let the flowers drop off, Betty.
Just let them drop off and leave it as it is.
Yeah, I definitely would do that. No.
So beautiful.
Oh, well done, Betty. No, you keep it as it is and don't fiddle with it.
Yeah, well, last year it had shades of pink on the flowers, this year it's they're pure white. So I hope it will come back again.
Yeah, it's because of the genetic diversity, because they've been hybridised so much. So you will get colour variation from year to year in the flowers.
Good luck with that. Thanks for calling, Betty. Sharon is in Tapping. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Sabrina, it's Sharon from Tapping with Pablo the parrot.
Oh, Sharon.
How are you?
How is Pablo?
He's doing great, but he's under biosecurity protection at the moment.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Our vets have got us any sort of browse we bring in to give him quality of life, like gum nuts and
eucalypts
have to be soaked in disinfectant now, dried and everything. But with flowers, it's really hard. So I was wondering if there's any sort of grevillea, kangaroo paw, or anything that could grow undercover under grow lights.
Oh, under grow lights. Okay, yeah. You might have a luck. You might have some luck with, definitely with kangaroo paws.
Right.
Maybe some of the ground cover grevilleas, Sharon.
Right.
To see, we need stuff that is important forage for them. You're not. Yes. You won't be able to grow Banksias.
No.
I would. You could even try some of the Melaleucas. There's Melaleuca diosmifolia.
Right.
That would probably grow under grow lights, and that's got a good nut on it. And the kangaroo paws. I know that they grow under light.
Great.
Oh, hello, little.
Yes, sorry. I had to try and get him off my shoulder, and because he's flighted, he just flies straight back on.
So no,
he's chasing me around the house.
Part of the show.
Yes.
Could you please send a photograph of him for me, Sharon?
Yeah, sure. Happy to.
That
yeah,
would be wonderful.
Thank you for your help.
Yeah, so I'd stick to Melaleucas, the small growing grevilleas, and the kangaroo paw. Melaleuca diosmifolia is a good low light. And it's got good nuts on it.
Okay, great.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
So much. Bye.
Terry and Dianella asks what this is. It's a thing with green leaves, is what I can tell you. Oh, we've got him on the line. Oh. Hang on a second. Terry, where are you? There you are. Yep.
Okay.
Terry. Hello, Terry.
Terry, it's...
Morning, ladies.
Morning. It's a bit hard to tell what it is from the photo, if it's got flowers or it's a bit bigger, it looks like a viburnum.
Ah.
But I don't know. What have you got nearby?
Have you got a side view of it?
Did it just pop up?
Well, it's either just popped up or something I've pushed down into the ground, into the pot.
And forgotten about,
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's shooting and I go, what the hell?
It looks that – so it could be a young fiddlewood, which is, you know, a 30-metre tree.
Ficus,
it could be
no,
it's not ficus. It could be a viburnum.
Yeah.
If you've got viburnum hedges around the place and the birds eat the seed and then go boop. But honestly, the other thing – no, it's not that. It's just – it's hard to tell. I'm so sorry, Terry.
Yeah, sorry, Terry.
Keep it going, and then when
pretty.
It gets a bit bigger, send me another picture.
Yeah. Good luck.
Before,
sorry, she was no help.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That'd be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Here, this is nice. Hi, Sabrina. 2 weeks ago I asked how best we can plant a community garden on stage at the Roxy Lane Theatre for a show called Community Garden, still running till the 23rd.
Oh.
And Sabrina, you advised of leafy Asian greens. We used them and various herbs like basil, mint and thyme, plus others. We have used UV lights at night for the plants and regular watering. Even the hay we have used as mulch has sprouted. The set has been praised by reviewers thus far, like from What's the Show and Stage Whispers. Again, thank you very much for helping make our show bloom. Isn't that nice?
It is my absolute pleasure.
Elizabeth is from Esperance. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. I heard just a few minutes ago that you said that your Jilted Wax need to be pruned after flowering.
Yep.
I've got one. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And I've got one that flowered with about three flowers last year. It's only a couple of years old.
Yeah.
And it's been flogged badly with the winds that we've had this year.
Yeah.
Is it too late to prune it?
No, Elizabeth, I want you to go out there and do that today.
Two-thirds.
Beautiful.
Now, no, because yours is only young, isn't it? 2 years yes. old, you said, so only 50% yep. off for you.
Okay.
Yep.
All yep. right. Beautiful. Good luck with that.
Go to you. It. Go to it, Elizabeth.
Thank you for that. Dylan. Dylan is in Scarborough. Hi, Dylan.
Hello, Dylan.
Hi, good morning. Just in reference to what you said earlier about biodiversity loss and extinction, it feels really easy to feel helpless, I think, against the backdrop of politicians that don't seem very interested and a system that seems to kind of reward pillaging the environment, I guess, with things like the bauxite mining being a great example. Yep. Just wondered if you have kind of any more words of wisdom around what we can do as a community and particularly what young people can do to make a difference.
That is a great question, Dylan. And, you know, it's young people that are actually driving the force to try and protect the environment. So you lobby your local politician, you join environmental groups, every single council in Perth, every single council, people are fighting to save the old trees and Banksia groves from being destroyed for things like putting in a cricket pitch or extending parking. Or so you start lobbying your local council plus your state members, and people need to become more aware of what's in the environment. So it's young people leading the charge. They are putting so much more pressure on governments now to actually do something that's concrete. Even though we have good environmental policies, what's happened now is there's amendments made to the policy which allows for our old trees to actually be destroyed. So you join environmental, there's some fantastic groups that are out there that you can join and make your voices heard. But I am very optimistic about the future of the environment because of the people that are coming behind me are really pushing for change, for protection of environment, and we need to lobby for more national parks to protect the environment.
Mm. Dylan, good on you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dylan, and thank you for being a trooper.
And interested, yes. Sue says thank you, Dylan. So a lot of fans for you out there already. Thanks, mate, and good luck with it. Let us know what you do and we will try to, you know, amplify any kind of action that people, you know, planting trees. And as Sabrina mentioned, corridors are a huge issue. We don't have corridors for species to travel through habitats. They're just like blocked off and they're cornered and, you know.
And then you've got small populations and then you've got inbreeding and then that's when the species goes extinct.
Robert is not an extinct species. I reckon there's probably a lot of Roberts around. Robert, don't you reckon, Robert?
Hi, it's Robert from Midland here.
Yes.
I have a question. Great show, ladies.
Thank you.
I wanted to know what fruit trees I can grow in Midland. I lived in Perth for a long time but was in Melbourne and have come back.
Yeah.
And wanting to know, in Melbourne I grew things like apricots, nashi pears, cherries, apples, in Melbourne, and
yep.
I'm wanting to know, can I grow them here?
You can.
Or is it a lost cause?
No. And Midland has much better soil than the coastal plains, Robert. So you can grow all those apart from cherries, I'm afraid, because
okay.
we don't get a chill factor. All those fruit trees you can grow, you've got to make sure that you get the ones that are low chill, particularly
right.
for apples and pears, but you can grow all those really successfully, Robert.
Now, the other question is that many years ago I tried to grow peach and gave up because of fruit fly.
Yeah. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, Robert. You have to net the entire tree, espalier it, and then get those bag, like the stem
right.
netting. That
right.
hasn't, nothing's changed there, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Thanks for that.
Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. Simon is in Safety Bay. Hi, Simon.
Hi, ladies. First quick one is just what best time to prune a lemon tree?
Any time you've got time.
Okay, no worries. Just even if it's covered in fruit, doesn't matter.
If it's a Eureka, it fruits all year round. Yep.
Okay, cool. Another one. I grew a desert road from seed.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's grown beautiful, but it's got two massive seed pods about 6 inches long on it.
Yep.
They've been on there for ages. How long do they stay on before they fall off?
Well, they'll split and the seed will disperse. So what you need to do is you need to get a stocking or something like that to put over. The seed has to be ripe to have an ovary. So, well, an effective ovary, one that's going to give you the goods anyway. Put a stocking over that those little weird helicopter seed pods, and it's got to be brown, dry, and basically splitting.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Simon.
Find a stocking. Cheers,
find
lady.
Find a Bye. Stocking.
Thank you, Simon. Tina is in Menorah, and we have a photograph of a green strappy thing. What's,
yeah.
Hi, Tina.
Hello, Tina.
Hi, good morning, ladies.
That's your blood lily. Hey, man.
Blood lily.
Yeah.
So I just had two bulbs and then two flowers, and then one of them turned into two plants. And I'm just wondering if I can separate them.
Yeah, you can.
The double one now, or do I have to wait till it's...
I would wait for another year before you divide the bulb, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Aren't they the most extraordinary things?
They're so weird,
yeah.
It's really hard to find somewhere to put them.
Well, they need to be in shade, Tina.
Oh, yeah. And because they're so heavy and they hang down so far, you know, they look nice in the fork of a tree and something like that. But,
Well, I've got mine in a big ice bucket.
Oh, would they go in a hanging basket, do you think?
No.
Okay. Right, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Beth is in Hilton. Hi, Beth.
Hello. I've grown a ficifolia, Carimbia ficifolia from seed.
Yeah.
And since I've repotted it into some native potting mix, all the leaves are munted. They're all... bent and, crooked.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Even the new ones.
Oh, really?
Can I save it or shall I start again?
I would. So, obviously, the potting mix has had something in it that the ficifolia doesn't like. Or the pot.
It's the native one. I mean, common.
I reckon it's going to be a dud if it's doing that now, and I don't know if I'd waste... Well, the other thing is you can keep it going for another year, see if it improves with the bit warmer weather, with some new healthy growth. If you get new healthy growth, it's a goer. If not, there's something wrong with it. It's weak and it'll probably always have problems.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Beth.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Joanne is in Two Rocks. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, ladies. Sabrina, I just wanted to let all of you know that there's an amazing campaign going on north to create a national park.
Oh, Wilbinga. Wilbinga?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're also trying to create a green space between Yanchep and Two Rocks. It's currently privately owned.
Yep.
But it stretches between Two Rocks and Yanchep, and we're trying to save that from development as well.
Yes. Now... This is a revolutionary, fantastic project, I suggest to people. So, I'm going to actually follow this story, Joanne, on the Wilbinga National Park, because it's such an important biodiversity hotspot. And the only way that we will ever be able to save it from development is to convince the government that it is the worthiest place to have made a national park. So I'm on to it, Joanne. Don't you worry.
Thank you so much.
And if you were able to call anyone into acting on this, where would you suggest they go? Joanne, is there a website?
It's just wilbinga.com.au is where you should go. They've got a petition out, but they've also got coming later on. It's actually a questionnaire to fill out and submit to local politicians, because that converts into votes, and they feel that that's more likely to get action from politicians than anything.
Well,
but if you go to wilbinga.com.au, that'll tell you everything you need to know.
How do you spell Wilbinga?
WILBINGA.
Beautiful, Joanne. Thank you for that. I hope Dylan is listening. Dylan was wanting, you know, direction as to where to go make a difference, because it is overwhelming, climate change and the consequences that we are staring down the barrel of, and it's impossible to know what each little one of us human beings can do. Elizabeth is in East Fremantle. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, ladies. A quickie, I know I haven't got much time, they tell me. So my first question is there a native climbing plant with flowers?
Yeah, heaps. Lots of native climbing plants with flowers.
Native wisteria?
Yeah, we've got the Hardenbergia. One of my favourites is Canadia nigricans, the black pea flower.
Ooh.
It's a ripper.
That is gorgeous. I looked that up a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Yep, yep.
Okay,
keep going.
Excellent.
Any more, Sab?
Oh, sorry. I my pick would be the Canadian nigricans.
There you go.
It's stunning.
Okay. It's stunning. Okay. Good luck with that, Elizabeth.
Perfect. Bye.
The other thing I wanted to say on the biodiversity topic, because it's so interesting. I'm reading a book at the moment called The Knowledge by Victor Stephenson, and he's an Indigenous man who's written a number of books on learning from ancestral wisdom to save our challenging global environment. I just recommend it. I mean, I've only just started this one, but I heard him interviewed on Conversations for ABC, and he was brilliant. So
thank you for that. Thanks,
brilliant.
Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Richard is in Albany. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi. How are you going, Amber?
Yeah, good.
Sabrina?
Good.
Very good.
You're always talking about squishing things, so I'll sing you a little song.
Oh, far away.
Bite their heads off, squeeze their juice out, throw their skins away. Ooh. Nobody knows how I survive on 3 little worms a day.
Yay! That was beautiful.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much, lovely.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Unless you have singing an originally composed song for us, don't even bother calling.
Yeah, that's right.
John is in Hall's Head. Hi, John. How can Sabrina help you?
Good morning, mate. I've tried 3 times to grow gerbers from seed, and I failed 3 times.
Oh.
Are there any tips?
Do you know what, John? I have never grown a gerbera in my entire life, so I am absolutely useless to you at this point in time. So with seed, timing is of the utmost importance. The temperature of the seed growing mix is really important, and also preventing diseases like Pythium that they die from, but that's the only. There's a Gerbera Society of WA. I would get in contact with them.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, Gerbera Society WA. They're going to be much more use to you than me, John.
There's a society for everything.
There is,
John. There should be a society of Johns, and then you could join it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Good luck with that, John.
Well, thanks, John.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I saw something on the social media about a company that already had 3 blokes called Kenny working for them.
Yeah.
And so the next time they advertised a job vacancy, they actually screened out for more Kennys, which is maybe a little bit unethical. The thing that really made me laugh, and the guy that posted it said at last count there were 8 Kennys. Somebody replied by saying, I feel sorry for the IT department having to figure out all those Kenny logins. How good is that? Stuart.
That is very clever.
Stuart is from WA Conservation Raptors. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Stuart.
Sabrina.
Yes.
Some time ago we had this big mouse plague up in Morawar and all the farming areas.
Yeah.
And the government jurisprudently allowed us to use double dose poisons. So we ran the risk of endangering all the smaller birds of prey.
Yes,
owls,
yes, yes.
Have you heard anything from that area?
No. I do know that there's been, I haven't heard anything from that area, but I have seen that there has been a massive increase in the owls in the eastern states where the where they had the really bad mouse plague over there, and lots of babies, and also. But I haven't heard anything from the area that you're speaking of, Stuart. I haven't had any feedback on that at all.
So we're yet to follow up on that one, Stuart. Yeah. Thanks for calling in and bringing that to our – did you have another question, sorry?
No. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks Stuart. I'll see if I can get some info on that.
Please restart the show, ladies. I've only just tuned in. Look, you can find us online. The show is up called Roots and Shoots on our podcast every week. You can go and listen back, which we love it when people do that. We love to
be
your little podcast friends.
And we do like a little bit of feedback too.
We love feedback, only if it's positive.
Yeah.
Oh, hi Sabrina. You mentioned last week that you were taking Chinchurinchi, white flowering bulb, to City Farm Plant Swap. Can you please explain why, says Justin?
Oh, because it's proliferated in my garden and I don't need that much Chinchurinchi.
There you go.
So I'm just sharing.
There you go. And she, it's pretty.
And there's Pablo. There's a picture of Pablo. Pablo is the most extraordinary bird.
He is.
Parrot. Oh. Beautiful.
Do you know, I really wanted a parrot and then I heard that they can live until they're 90.
Yeah.
And
they're a bit high maintenance, I have to tell you.
Okay. Speaking of dogs of shame, our beagle once fell into the compost bin seeking out food, as beagles do. We were completely unaware and thought he was missing. Only when we started searching for him did we see the compost bin move across the garden like Doctor Who's TARDIS. It was absolutely hilarious. He was such a naughty dog. Oh, what a beautiful guy.
Beagles are shocking. Beagles and bloody Labradors.
I love dogs. What three meter nut plus native tree would you recommend to put in a raised pot? Lots of rock underground for my northern fence to block the neighbour's tin roof. Thanks, water from Cowtown.
Well, I don't know if 3 meters is going to block that roof. The roof's about 5 meters high. But you could put in Eucalyptus fecunda or Eucalyptus kingsmillii.
Christine Layton will be back with you for next week's show. I'm off on leave for a month. Thanks for your company. It is 10 o'clock news time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.